The climate change, what you have seen over a period of last 5 years, I think everybody is seeing the type of patterns of floods and, you know, the events, the natural calamities. I think this has also increased the cat risk for the insurers. The catastrophic risk, what they need to manage, has increased.
That was Satyanandan Athyam, Chief Risk Officer, Tata AIG General Insurance Company. With over 2 decades of global experience in enterprise risk management, Satya is a thought leader across various industry domains such as operational risk, information security, IT audit, and more. LeaderCast is a podcast series by ISB Executive Education. This podcast features prominent business executives who are redefining functions and industries and what it means to lead in an era of accelerated change. So, incidentally, as I was just preparing for our podcast, I was reading through what is the latest in insurance, and I was pleasantly surprised on two basic data snippets that I read. One is in the recent G20 summit, India is supposed to be leading in terms of the insurance premium growth over the next 5 years, about 7.1% amongst the G20 countries. But the second data point which sort of took me back was that our insurance penetration is about 3.2%.
Globally, compared to global standards, it's very less here.
But I was also surprised on two things, and I don't know how accurate this data is, that we lead China and UK in their penetration. Yeah. So that for me seemed to be like a positive spin-off. But I know that we are probably a little lower down the table when it comes to the other developed countries. So is there a view, and I know that there's a lot of the government insurance schemes that are happening, right? Mm-hmm. The Pradhan Mantri Yojana and all of that. Yeah. So is there an intent in terms of percentage as to how much, what is the base of the population that needs to be insured over the next 5-10 years? Is there something, some sort of data there?
So I think what you have rightly pointed out, Madhu, in terms of the insurance penetration and the insurance growth numbers. So the second is an answer to the first.
Okay.
Because we have a less penetration and because there is a greater focus for the government, I think there is an increased percentage growth.
Right.
You know, so lower numbers, the lower denominator.
So the lower base.
The denominator itself is low. So automatically when you have a good amount of push from the enterprises and from the government itself, so I think you will have a good increase in number. So having said that, you know, what you are observing of increase in numbers is also corroborative of the regulatory push and the entire legislation push around this subject. The financial protection in itself is, you know, one of the financial determinant of how your entire society gets more matured, or I would say how society grows.
Right.
See, financial inclusion you see with the Digital India, Digital Stack, what you see, you know. So a lot of initiative on financial inclusion, but financial protection also helps the society.
Right.
So I think that is what the initiative of the government is, and what you are seeing with the examples you gave in terms of the various programs the government has. And also because we have a lower penetration, there is also a greater amount of focus where the regulator itself is allowing and opening up the insurance sector. And that is also causing a greater amount of flexibility for enterprises to go ahead and introduce new products. When they are introducing new products, they are having a lesser amount of intervention from the regulator.
Okay.
The entire regulatory framework has become more open.
Okay.
And because of which you are seeing greater amount of interest of enterprises to get into more rural areas, getting into, you know, areas where they can create products and sell insurance.
Got it.
So it's a combination of multiple factors. First, as you said, the denominator itself is low. Therefore, you have growth, the government push, the regulatory push. And then the enterprise, they are capturing the opportunity.
Right,
So I think it's a combination of all these factors where you are seeing that, you know, in India, you have a greater amount of insurance penetration and insurance premium growth.
Right. So both of these aspects. One is the base is also so wide, right? You've got so many people.
Uninsured vehicles.
Right.
You know, and again, since the COVID has struck,
right,
I think the positive fallout is all about awareness about health insurance.
Right.
The positive, you know, perspective in terms of how your health has to be protected, your lives have to be protected.
Right.
So I think that awareness itself is again making this as a pull product rather than a push product. So health was always a push product.
Correct.
You know, before COVID, you had to sell health insurance to make the person understand what are the implications of what an adverse event in your life can cause and financial implication to you.
Right.
And that has the selling proposition itself is
gone. Yeah, people want it more.
People want it now.
Yes.
It's a pull product.
Right.
So that also is one of the reasons.
Got it. Great. So you, from I've looked at your career, and you got close to about 2 decades of experience in the insurance and the risk areas. How have you actually seen the industry evolve since the time that you entered the industry? That is one thing. And what do you think are the key trends that have happened in the last 10 years or so, which is shaping the industry from what it was earlier?
So Madhu, over the period of last 10 years, I think what you have seen is that a lot of digital adoption. So digitization is one aspect of the subject. Digital transformation is another aspect of the subject.
Right.
So I think organizations have taken the entire journey from digitization to digital transformation.
Right.
If you see this business models, how an insurance business operates, insurance organization is always a back-end business.
Mm-hmm.
Your business is sourced through your agents and brokers and intermediaries.
Right.
The servicing is done again by intermediaries who are again garage service providers or hospitals in case of health insurance or the TPAs. And insurance becomes the backend engine. So you have a set of intermediaries for sourcing business and set of intermediaries for servicing the customer. So because of this model, what happens that you need to have a greater amount of digital ecosystem, right, which makes this process very, very efficient and which lesser frauds and lesser error prone.
Right.
So this is what the journey of organizations have taken. And in the last 10 years, I would say this has been the biggest differentiator. What is also one of the reasons why you have seen a lot amount of penetration that has happened in the country.
Got it.
And why you have seen a lot of insurance acceptance, because now the products are getting more simplified. Because of this, you are having, you know, bite-sized products. Because of your, I think in the session we were hearing in the morning itself, the amount of cash flow based, you know, decision making what enterprises are using, the lending companies are using, because of which the financial outgo in terms of the financial, you know, loan process which is happening, that is also happening because of the digital adoption itself.
Right.
So I think the combination of these is one of the biggest trends what you have seen.
Right.
Now, if you see the financial aspect of it, the earlier regulator used to allow 25% of the sub debt to be raised as a 25% of the share capital. The regulator has made a quite amount of convenience where now 50% of the invested share capital can be raised as a sub debt. And that too, if you are having a solvency of more than 1.8, this gives a more a flexibility in your entire financial ecosystem from a point of view of your capital structure. Right. It brings a more efficiency in your capital structure. So there are certain interventions across your corporate agency ecosystem. The corporate agent earlier was allowed to onboard 3 life, general or health insurers, so that when I say corporate agent, it's all about banks.
Right.
For insurance distribution.
Right.
The distribution itself model has been changed.
Okay.
Now he can onboard up to 9 life, health or general insurance companies. So Madhu, what happens, what this brings on the table is a greater amount of decision making from a customer point of view of options what he gets.
Choices.
And choices. Right. Choices of products, choices of insurance companies.
Right.
And this calls for a greater amount of insurance penetration and better distribution.
Got it.
Now, if you talk about areas around expense management for insurers, the earlier the expense and the commission, what was allowed for the insurer was there were sublimits in the line of business.
Okay.
Now, the regulator has made it very flexible that he has kept a limit of 30% of the GWP from a commission and expense perspective. And there are additional allowances for additional expenses.
Okay.
What this brings on the table is a more efficient management in terms of how you can run the business. There are no sublimits for each line of business, and there are no limits on expenses or commission for each product.
Got it.
So it gives a flexibility again for insurers of how he sells and how he manages his overall expenses. Because end of the day, regulator also wants that end of the day, insurers should also run towards profitability.
Right.
You know, it is not about, you know, burning cash.
Right.
So there has to be a right efficient business model so that you end of the day, you generate profits and you are a sustainable business.
Got it. So the other thing is very interesting since you mentioned this aspect, you know, we talked about the general trends, right? Are there any real life examples or use cases that you can bring out, you know, so that, you know, when people are hearing this podcast, they actually are able to relate immediately to what has happened in the trends over the last 10 years.
So when I talk about trends, I think there is also one aspect which I wanted to touch upon. the new regulation around IFRS adoption. I would not say regulation. It's more about the IFRS requirements, mm-hmm. where we are going to have our reporting norms, which are equivalent to of the peers in the international market. Now, when we talk about IFRS, these are also going to help in discounting of liabilities and also help in amortization of cost, which is more of a pick, which is a true representative of our profitability of an organization. So when I say a use case, when you mention a use case, I think this is one trend that is going to happen from a forward-looking perspective, and I think which people are going to relate to. So this is the trend which has not happened, but this is going to happen. And there is always already a timeline of financial year 2025, mm-hmm. when India is going to move towards IFRS accounting. So once that moment happens, you would see a better profitability of insurance companies. You would see that reporting norms have changed, and the reporting norms are in peer with to the international peers. And we will have a better reporting from a profitability standpoint. Now, the trend when I talked about the digital transformation, I think what it also brings on the table, the greater amount of risk around drift in the IT architectures and the drift in the shadow IT. Mm-hmm. So these are the few trends which I have seen in the last 5 to 10 years,
right.
which have really shaped up the industry,
right.
and also really helped the industry to get into a more, I would say, a pull product where the customers are coming back to the insurers and asking for a product, because the product realization of an insurance is only when they ask for a claim.
Right.
When they buy a policy, there is no product experience.
Right.
The product experience happens when they get a claim. So from that perspective, I think there is a greater amount of, a trust what a customer has with an insurance product now, because he could see that, there is a less amount of documentation, there is a less amount of follow-up which is required, and the insurers have right models in place so that they could pay the claim and the customer could realize a product experience.
Got it. Thanks for that, Satya. That was a really interesting, but one of the key trends that you mentioned was about digital transformation. Now, insurance is a treasure trove of data. And, there's a lot of digital transformation happening in that space. What do you think are the exposures for insurers around the areas of cyber risk? That's point number one. And the second aspect is about the regulation around data protection. Like you've got a GDPR and the European Data Protection Acts. So how do you see digital transformation playing out with respect to these risks of data, of consumer data?
So Madhu, I think the positive aspect, the positive flip which I talked about was a digital transformation which has shaped up businesses, which had improved, bought up efficiency in the entire business model, have reduced cost and gained customer trust. But there are flip side to it. The flip side is about you have so many applications, so many infrastructure components which are created in an enterprise and which are catering to the entire multiple business channels and multiple business ecosystems, you have a drift in the IT architecture. The IT architecture drift is the biggest risk for any enterprise. You have a lot of shadow IT components because you are catering to so many models of rendering insurance mm-hmm. to a customer. You tend to see that, the entire cloud or, the IT component is not managed by the enterprise IT.
Right.
You have shadow IT components which have a lesser visibility for the enterprise IT. And the entire run, or I would say the excitement around reaching out to the customer and putting a right product to him, is creating a drift in the IT architecture also. What it also means is that there is a greater amount of cyber risk. You have increased your attack surface. You have increased your digital ecosystem. You have created a lot amount of, because of this acceleration, there is a lot bigger attack surface which is available for a hacker or a perpetrator to exploit. So this has increased the cyber risk there. So now it is a greater responsibility of the risk functions within the enterprise to get into solutions or get into the assessment activities so that you protect those assets. Now, data being the new oil, that is how we really term it. And right. that is also transforming business. They are transforming business because the decision making is basis of that data itself. Your customer preferences, your customer, you are doing cross-sell to the customer. Basis his preferences, you are also trying to sell multiple products. Also, it is now, and because the data becomes the primary driver for how you sell insurance or how you settle his claims, and you are now seeing a lot of regulation around data itself. Right. There are a matured regulation around cybersecurity. we have seen that data, Digital Data Protection Act by the legislation itself, which also calls for a greater amount of visibility of data and protection of data. Now, what it means for insurers, what it means for any enterprise in the corporate India, it means that a greater amount of systems and processes which are there to operate, which are going to take care and which are going to address your digital transformation risk also. You are running at one side a digital transformation initiative of the organization. At one side, you have BRICS, which are going to ensure that your cyber risk and data protection regulations are being catered to. So these have to go in hand, and which is not easy, which is quite a tough proposition for any enterprise. Because you have, if you talk about the Digital India stack, you have the paperless layer, you have the identity layer, you have the layer around consent management now.
Okay.
And because of this account aggregator framework and the consent management framework, you have a greater amount of process, new process to be implemented to ensure that your entire ecosystem of what data the customer gives to the enterprise and how he manages through a consent management framework. So this consent management framework, which is part of the Digital India stack, is now going to be, you know, reactivated through this DPDP bill. So this would call for a greater amount of investment, greater amount of, you know, I would say process change, greater amount of compliance cost, but good for the journey.
Right.
Good for the journey in terms of how enterprises would operate and how, you know, there would be less of data breaches for the very reason that data would be managed more securely. Right. And that is a good, I would say, a direction for any enterprise.
Interesting. So we have talked a lot about the insurance industry itself, but let's pause there and get to know a little bit more of Satya the person, right? Satya the leader. So over your 2 decades or so of your professional career, what is this one sort of one major leadership learning that you have got, adopted, and would like to advocate to people who are listening to our podcast?
So there are a few people in my career whom I always observe, and I always observe people who are my subordinates itself also. So the quality of self-conviction, you know, is quite a parameter which I believe drives a person in this VUCA world. For the very reason, you know, my profession is of risk, and it is all about uncertainties. It is all about driving the business and working as a second line of consultant, as a second line of defense. You are consulting the business. So when you are consulting the business in areas of business, you need to have a very self-conviction of what you talk and what you speak. And what is the areas where you have a perception or a perspective, and how exactly you put that on the table. So I would say that a quality of a person who is leading a function or leading an area of practice, and he's a person whom the organization depends upon for that area of expertise, there has to be a good amount of self-conviction. If you do not have a self-conviction model within your own, you know, I would say the ecosystem or your brain, then it is tough for you to navigate. And you should have those parameters or components in place of how you develop the self-conviction in the areas of your expertise. So I think, you know, that is the biggest leadership quality I would say anybody should have. Because if you are able to develop the capability of self-conviction, I think it's no matter, you know, in whatever ecosystem or in whatever, I think, organization you fit in, you will be able to navigate. Yeah. Because you will drive with a self-conviction. If you have a self-conviction, you will drive. If you are not having a self-conviction, you will not, you know, get into those discussions.
Correct.
And that brings a credibility to you.
Absolutely. Because, I think it's also about the challenges, right? So if you're able to understand the challenges and have this conviction, self-conviction, that challenges are meant to be surmounted.
Correct.
That's the battle half won. So thanks for that, Satya. We talked about past, we talked about insurance, we talked about data protection, and we talked about your own leadership learning or conviction. As the last part of this discussion, I wanted to understand, what do you think are the future looking trends that we would be seeing in the insurance industry, and basically what are the areas that, you know, from a disruption you're looking at in this particular industry?
So this industry is going to change, you know, from last 1 year. I think the regulator has changed his entire way of operating. there is a greater amount of acceleration in the entire regulatory process. They have loosened up. They are providing more flexibility to insurers so that they are able to penetrate and they are able to grow. If I talk about products itself, we used to have a file and use guideline. Now the products which are being released are through a use and file guideline. What it means is that you earlier used to file the product to the regulator. Regulator used to scrutinize the product from a policyholder interest perspective and from a profitability and actuarial pricing perspective. And he used to raise a iot of questions. Now this is going to has already changed. It is use and file. The product, the regulator has given the guidelines to the product management committee of the organization. And I am being part of the project management committee, I understand how it operates. It looks into all those parameters which is as per the regulatory guidance. It provides its approval and the product is there in the market. And then it is filed with the regulator. So there are certain such trends which are really helping the insurance industry to speed up. What I also see is with regards to the licensing, what is happening. The licensing process of the regulator is now, you know, of offering licenses for the life and general and health insurance business. They are offering niche licenses, which is also going to transform the entire ecosystem of distribution itself. So this is also going to create a lot of market share issue for larger insurers, because the niche insurance licenses which are being offered now are really going to increase the insurance penetration. And with more number of players in the market, you would see a lot of issues around pricing. Because a lot of niche players or small players who are new players who are going to come, they do not have an existing, I would say, a tenured population, when I talk about health insurance, for them to, you know, offer a higher pricing. They can still offer a lower pricing for products.
Right.
Because they do not have a tenured population, they have a greater edge to provide a lower pricing for products, which would also mean that, you know, there is a greater amount of market share loss for larger insurance companies. The PE-backed companies which you are seeing are going to take the market share now. And this is one thing. And now when you say the number of insurance companies who are going to get licenses which are going to be given by the regulator, you would see increased competition. You would see better penetration. You would see change in the models of businesses.
Right.
You would see new disruptors coming into place. So as I said, the digital transformation was happening from last 6 to 7 years. But you have not seen a disruption till this point of time.
Right.
What you have seen disruption in the banking space to some extent, maybe the lending space, the fintech space.
Fintech space, right.
So you have seen a lot of disruption in the fintech space.
Correct.
The insurtech, you are seeing some disruption, but I think the larger disruption is not there.
Correct.
But with this new licensing model, with the relaxation of a lot of regulatory guidelines and with a greater amount of digital adoption and the Digital India stack, what we have now, we have the Health stack getting ready. So I think you would see a lot of disruption that is going to come. So disruption is a big word, but that is something which is going to come. So this is what I see in the next 5 to 10 years. Maybe the models, the business models are going to change. How you offer insurance is going to change. How the insurance product is understood by the customer or how simpler it is sold to the customer. These are going to change.
Got it. So great. Thanks a lot, Satya. That was a really, really interesting discussion on insurance, and there were a lot of aspects around which I was not aware. So thanks for bringing it to my notice, and I'm sure that the podcast listeners would also be appreciative of this particular, the time that you spent with us. So thanks a lot, and wishing you all the very best.
Thanks, Madhu. It was a privilege.